There is one question that really did stick out in my mind, and because I believe it's actually a misconception that is widely spread. Okay, here's a question. I'd like to know, seriously, what the difference is to Orthodox Jews between believers in Yeshua, not Christians, and believers in any other Messiah, of which there have been and currently are many. Why is it okay to admit Jews who believe in another Messiah, in other Messiahs, but not Jews who believe in Yeshua into Israel? Now, what this question is basically working on is a premise, which I believe is not true. The premise is as follows. The only distinction between Judaism and Christianity is who is the Messiah. Or as somebody once put it, is the Messiah going to be coming for the first time, or will he be returning the second time? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they want to boil down the differences between Judaism and Christianity to that question. Now, that couldn't be further from the truth, because the issues which divide Judaism and Christianity go far beyond the question of who is the Messiah. The question of Judaism and Christianity go to the heart of issues such as the nature of God. Who do we believe God is? Is God a Trinity? Or do we believe that God is an absolute unity? The nature of the Messiah. Is the Messiah divine, singing sacrifice? Or is the Messiah just a human, righteous king? The question of sin, right? Whether we all begin with a clean slate or everybody is stained by Adam and Eve and they cannot do anything that is pleasing before God. And the question of righteousness, that no one can be righteous. Whereas Judaism believes that it is within our power to choose to do that which is right and good in the eyes of God. Issues such as Satan, whether Satan is a fallen angel or, as Judaism believes, that Satan is actually an agent of God. Mm-hmm. And then it comes to critical issues such as the commandments. Are the commandments eternal and valuable, of ultimate value, or are they not eternal or valuable? They're obsolete. Who goes to heaven? Is it only Christians go to heaven? Only those who believe in the atoning power of Jesus? Or are all good, righteous people going to heaven? Mm-hmm. You know, the land of Israel, is it irrelevant or is it very crucial? The question of the chosenness of the Jewish people, right? Is that something that has been superseded or pretty much set aside? Because now you have the church who are either the new Israel or grafted in, however you want to understand it, but they are the new elect children of God. Or do we say that no, God's choices are irrevocable and God chose the Jewish people and never ever said that he would choose another people ever based on a belief in an individual? So these are key issues which divide Judaism and Christianity, which go far beyond the question of, you know, who is the Messiah? Is it Joe or is it Jack? You know, it goes far beyond that.
Okay, so the difference between to Orthodox Jews between believers in Yeshua and believers in any other Messiah. And now, when they say believers in Yeshua, they're not talking about obviously a pig-eating Torah has been done away with Christian Messiah. We're talking about a Torah observant king that they believe is Yeshua. But how does that concept specifically differ from what we've just discussed?
Well, I think if you had to boil it down, the question goes back to the definition of Messiah. Is the definition of Messiah a future king that is to come that will bring universal peace and universal knowledge of God? Or are you saying that the definition of the Messiah is someone who comes to die for your sins, and through his blood and believing in his blood, one has eternal salvation, right? Mm. In other words, Christianity really has a dilemma that they had to sort out with very early on. The dilemma is as follows. We can all agree on the prophecies such as Isaiah chapter 11, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 33, Jeremiah 30, Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 34, which all give descriptions about this righteous king that will come. And Christians and Jews will say, yes, that is what the Messiah is going to do. Christians will say, this is what Jesus will do upon his return. The question one has to ask themselves then is, if all these prophecies, such as Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel 37, and Isaiah 11 are only going to be fulfilled on the return of Jesus, then who needed him to come to the first time? Who needed Jesus to come the first time around? What was his function the first time around? And what Christianity came up with is a new definition to the role of the Messiah. And they made the Messiah a dying sacrifice, someone who comes to die for your sins. And that is something that Judaism will never accept. Judaism will never accept this idea that in order to have your sins forgiven, you need to believe in the atoning power of the blood of a Messiah. That's something Judaism will never accept. And so therefore, when we talk about Jewish people who run around claiming that so-and-so is the Messiah, or so-and-so is the Messiah, so we say, okay, you know what? We'll adopt the wait-and-see policy. If Messiah comes and it's who you say it is, well, very nice. But if he's not, then we'll know you're wrong. But if somebody's saying, no, we can't wait and see who the Messiah is going to be, you right now have to believe in the Messiah, Jesus, right? And believe in his sacrifice for you. Today, you need to believe that. That's something that Judaism says, I'm sorry, this whole concept is foreign. It's not found in the Jewish scriptures anywhere. God did not come and teach us that in order to have our sins forgiven, we need to place our faith in the blood of a human being that dies for us. And therefore, you're comparing apples with oranges. It's not exactly the same thing. Here, it's fine to say, okay, you made a mistake, big deal. When you put your faith in Jesus, what you're doing is you're going against the grain of the teachings of the totality of Scripture when it comes to the issues of sin and salvation.
So if I can tease that out a little bit, the first example that I think of, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know a lot about this, but Hasidic Jews, many of them do believe that a particular rabbi who's since passed will be the Messiah, the quote-unquote Messiah, and will come back. There's a, if you like, if I can refer to it as such, as a second coming. But what you're saying is that concept is, it, like you said, it's like, okay, so wait and see, and if he comes back and it's him, well, very nice, it's okay. But if that concept was coupled with the, you must make the decision now, believing in the blood and the sacrifice and so on and so forth, that comes with Christianity, that is where the problem is, and that's where Judaism has to pull the brakes on and say, I'm sorry, but this, I don't see this in the Tanakh. Is that fair? Have I captured that?
That's correct. I mean, it would really boil down to John chapter 14, verse 6, that no man comes to the Father but through me. If Hasidic Jews were running around saying that unless you believe in Rabbi so-and-so, you cannot have your sins forgiven, and you're going to die in your sins, then Judaism would have every right to say, I'm really sorry, but this does not fit into the parameters of the teachings of the scripture, and therefore we're going to reject it. And it's, you know, it flies in the face of what God explicitly teaches about forgiveness from sin. This is without even delving into the whole issue of the divinity of the Messiah, which is an anathema to Judaism. This is the antithesis of what it means to be a Jew. I mean, what one has to ask themselves, this is an extremely, extremely, extremely important question, which I believe 99.99999% of the world have never really asked themselves. What, according to the Bible, does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean to be a Jew? Has anybody really gone through the scriptures to find out what does it mean to be a Jew? And, you know, people come up with all kinds of ideas, but when you ask them, can you give me the passages where it tells you clearly and consistently what it means to be a Jew, they're not able to come up with any passages. And, you know, I'd encourage your listeners to really ponder about this question. What does it mean to be a Jew according to the scriptures? And what you'll come up with, if you do the proper study of what it means to be a Jew in Scripture, what it means to be part of a covenantal people, it boils down to really one key issue and everything else that comes from it. The Jewish people are God's witnesses. As it says in Isaiah 43, verse 10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, right? We, the Jewish people, are here to testify to the entire world that God is the only sovereign being. There are no others. There's no one else. There are no other powers in the world. God has absolute sovereignty over the entire existence, over the entire creation. When somebody comes along and deifies a created being, that is the antithesis of what we, the Jewish people, are here to give witness to. When God tells us countless times throughout the scriptures that we are to be exceedingly careful, never, ever, ever to forget the experience that our forefathers had at Mount Sinai, that we are supposed to remember this over and over again. We're supposed to teach this to our children, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. We're supposed to teach this to our children, and the children will teach it subsequently to their children. And this is how the Jewish people will ultimately know and receive their concept of what and who God is. It's from this passing down from generation to generation, our experience at Sinai. This is what we're here for. We're here to testify to the world that God is alone. God is unique. God is, there's no compound unity, but God's an absolute unity. And that at Sinai, we saw no form, as it says clearly and explicitly in Deuteronomy. The whole Deuteronomy chapter 4 gives us a clear understanding of what it is that Jews, what Jews affirm as far as what they experienced at Sinai and what they were willing to die for throughout the centuries, rather than accept the need to deify and to direct worship towards a created being. Now, I understand that for many Christians, it's extremely difficult to accept what I've just said, because they find it hard to see Yeshua as, quote-unquote, just a man. He wasn't just a man. Now, what I'd like to offer your listeners is an example to think about. If your next-door neighbor receives a lot of attention by the community, and members of the community come to you and knock on your door and tell you that Joe, your neighbor, right, is not just a man, he's not just a man, and give you all the mystical, mysterious explanations that Christians give for Jesus, what would it take for you to say, you know what, actually, he's actually the fourth member of the Trinity. I'm going to accept him as somebody that I'm going to direct my worship towards. I'm going to negate myself and submit myself before this person as I would to God. It's quite clear to me that nobody in their right mind would ever even consider directing any worship that is only deserving to the Creator and direct that towards a human being, a created being. We're clearly told throughout scripture that we are not to direct this worship towards anything, whether it be between heaven and earth, right? Jesus was clearly something that was between heavens and earth. The people that lived in his time knew him, knew his parents, knew who he was born to. He was a human being that was born. No matter how you twist it, you are deifying a human being, and that is the antithesis of what Jews were placed on earth to testify against. We're here to testify that there's only one God, and any claim, no matter how sophisticated it is sheer nonsense if you contrast it to the experience that we had at Sinai.
Right, and so just to let me just read this out, because you did quote Isaiah 43:10, and it says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior."
Correct. Okay.